Our next public hearing is subdivision 2007-43, Cool Spring Equities LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, dividing 45.05 acres into 67 lots using the cluster development concept and located east of Road 290, 520 feet south of Road 262. Again, I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments from any agencies, individuals, or any reference to the TAC.
Mr. Chairman, this application was filed December 17th of 2007. The TAC review of February 28th, 2008 will be made a part of the record. The application was reviewed by the PLUS on February 4th of 2008. I'll pass down a copy of the PLUS's comments. The applicants submitted an exhibit packet on July 13th of this year. That packet included response to PLUS comments, proposed findings of fact, conditions of approval, reference to the items listed in section 99-9C and 115-25E, and I passed down a copy of the larger plan that was in the packet for your review. And we also have received three letters in opposition, one from James Larson, one from John Larson, and one from Ken Schiller. I'll pass those down for your review, and they'll be made a part of the record. That's all I have, unless you have any more questions.
All right, so thank you. Once again, if there's anyone here with a particular interest in this application, feel free to get up, move around, take a closer look at the exhibits, and at the appropriate time, you'll certainly be given the opportunity to speak. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Dyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Brett Dyer. I'm a member of Cool Spring Equities, LLC. For the record, I would like to present apologies for not having the material in a binder. I have binders that have the exact amount of material in them that I would like to pass out. There's nothing new being submitted in the binder, if I may.
I think that's fine.
Make Mr. Johnson very happy. Unfortunately, yes. He's not here.
Before you this evening for consideration is a cluster subdivision for 67 single-family lots on 45.05 acres. It has a yield of 1.48 lots per acre. Which, as you're aware, is a very low density. Again, we're applying for a cluster under section 115-25E. The property is located within a development district under the new Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. It is in a level 4 state strategy, so there is the dichotomy between, the comments under the PLUS with regard to level 4. And the existence of this property within the development district. I will address some of the comments later in the presentation, but the most significant point of reference would be after we received the TAC and PLUS comments, we did move. Move the lots out of the existing pond area. There's also an existing forest area here, and we moved the lots away from that as well. There is a 404 wetland delineation which has been submitted to the Army Corps, and we changed the design to allow for lots to not back up to one another, thereby increasing the amount of open space in the project. From a review of the TAC comments and the PLUS comments, there was concern, and we agreed with that, with regard to filling in the existing pond. And we changed the designed so as to not impact the forested area. As you are aware, the cluster ordinance requires that a superior design be substantiated. This project encompasses 54% open space, which is in excess of 24 acres. As I indicated, there are no lots that will back up to another lot, and open space is provided to the rear of all the lots. An average of 10,700 square feet is represented throughout the project. The environmental review was performed, and no findings at all were disclosed. At this point, I would like to go through the provisions of the subdivision ordinance under Section 99. Item number one, we've paid careful attention to the location of the lots as they relate to the adjoining properties and also with regard to the public road. The reduction from what was previously provided as now having no forest removal, we think is very significant. Therefore, we've made every attempt to integrate this subdivision into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape. There are wetlands on the site. You can see a wetland delineation in the packet, and we are having no interference. There's no lots within the 404, and in fact, we are maintaining at least a 65-foot distance from those as well. The FEMA map shows Zone X, which is unshaded, and a Zone A. In the opinion of our engineer, we are going to submit for a LOMA change, a change in that zone, because one of the maps that he presented to me shows that the actual line of the Zone A should be within the forested area. So we will apply for that. If, in fact, we're not successful in modifying that, then we will maintain a finished floor elevation for those lots which are mentioned. I believe they're lots 30 to 36, which have an impact on that Zone A. As I indicated previously, an environmental review was performed by Environmental Resources. There was an absence of any threatened or endangered species within the areas. There was a visual reconnaissance as well as a database review done, yielding no returns. No significant historical or natural features have been observed or are in our knowledge with regard to the site. The variety of open space, as I indicated, being to the rear of each lot, encompassing 54% of the entire site, it certainly exceeds the requirements for your cluster ordinance. We have also provided a walking jogging path throughout the site towards the rear of the lots. And the path will encompass the outside of the properties as well as the inside of the rear of the properties towards the middle. We are providing a sidewalk on one side of the road, the reason being that when you have the sidewalk on the street and you also have the walking trail to the rear of each and every lot, we believe this provides adequate coverage. Great caution has been exercised to preserve the existing forested resources as well as minimizing the disturbance of the grading plan. Objectionable features such as stormwater management ponds and homes adjacent to neighboring ponds will be minimized. I will talk about that with regard to the cluster ordinance, but there will be either the forested buffer or a berm in accordance with the code provisions. The subdivision will be served by central water and central sewer from Artesian Water, and they have applied for the CPCNs for the appropriate coverage. Green technology design manual will be utilized as well as the
best available technological and BMPs in an effort to integrate this property into the environment. The change in use, currently the land is being tilled. The change in use from farming to residential will have a significant decrease in the nitrogen loading as well. The stormwater features will be implemented again throughout the site and by utilizing the open space again towards the rear of the lots, we will have the ability to incorporate that in there as well. The walking paths will be provided towards the rear of the lot and a 10-foot wide multimodal path along the frontage of the road if required by DLDOT. Substreets have been provided to adjacent parcels for future connections if necessary. The area property values, and I'm going to review this again at the end, but the area property values will not be decreased as a result of this development. We maintain a low density project here, keeping in mind if there is agricultural activity, we will incorporate the deed restriction as well as the buffer requirements. It is a single family home. Community will maintain the natural condition to the extent possible and also achieve the desired impact of clustering by not spreading out the lots throughout the entire site. The effect on the schools should be minimal. We do agree to provide a bus area at the designated locations, and we do believe that this project will have a mix of active adult retirees as well as potential first-time home buyers and workforce housing. We've had a preliminary discussions with DLDOT with regard to the entrance design. A traffic impact study was not required given the small size of the project. The development provides for low-density housing, and again, as I've indicated, we've designed the project to have a minimized adverse impact on the adjacent properties. BMPs, best management practices, and green technology will be integrated throughout the community. Section 115.25E requires, again, that we maintain single-family dwellings. We have the proposed covenants additionally, the as I had mentioned before, there will be either a forested buffer of 30 feet and or a planting strip that will meet the county code requirements. No dwelling located within 50 feet of an existing residential development shall be provided without a 30-foot buffer. We agree to maintain that standard as well. The areas of dedication of the property, which would be the open space, we have an agreement from CPR to manage the open space as required by the ordinance. A formal landscape plan utilizing the right tree in the right place, or as I indicated, a berm of at least 4 feet high will also be provided. Only one entrance will be maintained from the Cool Spring Road. There will be no other access to interior lots. As I said, there's no lot within a wetland, and there's at least a 65-foot buffer. And central water and sewer will be provided.
Mr. Dyer, if anyone would like to have a conversation, we would appreciate if you would do it out in the lobby. We are picking you up here, and it makes it kind of hard to hear the applicant. So if you would, please, we'd appreciate it. Okay, go ahead.
Good
This time I would like to discuss the adjoining properties.
This is a map. This is the project. Site is along Cool Spring Roads, and the flag properties are additional properties that are subject to and in various stages with regard to consideration for projects. There's 66 units. Carriage Greens proposed 233 units, Cool Spring Meadows, 112 units, KGH Properties, Beaver Creek Phase 3, which is 154 units, and 105 units, the Route 9 Wilkinson property. Existing subdivisions as well, Cool Spring Manors, Cool Spring Farms, Hunter's Mills, Shady Rest Park, Poplar Grove, Feather Bed Acres, and to the rear, Arabian Acres. Riding to Rehoboth is also presented on the map. It's a greater distance away.
In conclusion, we believe that this application is and does meet all the requirements of both Section 699 with regard to the subdivision. It also provides the requirements of 115 as it meets the superior design requirements for a cluster. Again, the comments from TAC and PLUS, we believe, were very valid. We did integrate those into the plan. We do not think that it has an adverse impact on adjoining properties. We will provide the necessary buffers. We realize it's there are properties that are adjoining that do have agricultural uses, and we're very much aware of those. We will also provide the necessary deed restriction language, putting any buyer on notice of those particular uses. Therefore, we respectfully request that you would grant approval of this application.
All right, sir. We thank you. If you'll stand by here, we'll see if anyone has a question for you. And we'll start with Mr. Gordy.
Well, sewer, you said sewer?
Artesian.
Artesian. Will it be on site or off?
No, it'll be, it's a central plant. It's located on Route 9 where the railroad tracks are. It's on a piece of property that they have purchased, and they do have approval for that.
Okay. Also, water won't be on site either.
They'll have a central water system.
Okay. And the berming, you were saying something about berming. What are you proposing berming?
We're proposing either landscaping or a berm in excess of 4 feet around the entire project.
The berm 4 feet.
The berm has to be in excess of 4 feet.
And also wetlands. Will you be willing to mark the start of the wetlands as the permanent marker? Or
absolutely. Like yes.
And how about during construction, silk fence at the?
Certainly.
Okay. What type of housing are you proposing?
At this point, we would project given the size of the lots, they are larger lots, but we're still finding that the product that is moving is still in the 225 to 250 to that type of range. A number of changes have occurred with regard to housing, and that is clearly the which is why we went with a somewhat larger lot is. A number of the buyers prefer master down as opposed to the second floor master, which takes somewhat more space.
That's all the questions I have right now, Mr. Wheatley.
All right, sir. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Dyer. And I guess I could say appreciate you providing, is it a 65-foot buffer from the wetlands?
Yes.
In recognition that, what does the county normally require?
Well, this is a non-tidal wetland, so I wouldn't believe that there would be, there would not be a buffer requirement unless it were tidal or a stream, and it's neither one of those, but we still felt that was important to maintain the integrity of the separation there.
Thank you. Have you done any study that shows how this development could reduce the nitrates? This was a former poultry-producing property.
Right. We did, with regard to the final submission for the stormwater will require a nutrient loading budget. We haven't performed it, but we will provide that as part of the submission for the sediment erosion and stormwater management approval.
Recognizing your background in development, would you say that the nitrate levels would be reduced? Would it be MOTS NOTS, or would it be increased?
I think absolutely there would be a reduction. The other impact of that would be under the green technology now. And this seems to has actually advanced even more under the BMPs, the best management practices. But with the different infiltration efforts of the green technology, a number of those buffers and the strips within which that occurs, there's definitely a superior impact of reducing even the fertilizers that are placed upon the yards, that is greatly minimized by that type of technology. The other reason that I think would be significant is given the separation to the wetlands and the maintaining the forest areas, that would greatly enhance the overall impact of the project.
Now, did you indicate no traffic impact study was required?
None was required, no.
Are you being asked to make any efforts or any improvements in the vicinity of this property to?
What will happen is at the time of the design, if we were to obtain approval, then we would deal with that at the time of the entrance submission to DLDOT, and they would determine exactly what impacts there would be and require whatever they felt was necessary with regard to that.
So if there were a XL or D-cell or turn lane or something that would speed the traffic or keep...
That would be at our cost and our obligation. That's correct.
Your thoughts on sidewalking? I see you've got a notation about street lighting.
Yes, we are doing street lighting, and again... we felt that we would prefer to do the walking path behind each lot as well as one sidewalk along the street. It is different because many of our subdivisions, if not all that I can think of, have lots that back up to other lots. And with this design, we have the opportunity to utilize that open space behind there and to incorporate the walking trails As you gentlemen are aware, that was the walking paths was the number one amenity as a result of the study that was performed by the State Parks and Recs. I believe it was in 2004 or 5 for the state of Delaware. So we have found that the walking paths are a significant advantage, and they do get utilized, unlike some tennis courts or things like that.
Question about a provision for a school bus stop. I heard what you said about retirees, but if that...
But I think there's still a possibility here that, you know, that we could have, you know, we could have workforce housing. We could have, you know, people that, given the proximity to the beach areas and the employment there, there would be, you know, the possibility of that. So we would provide a bus stop. I think that would be important.
Have you given any thought to whether or not the berm, in addition to its presence as a feature,
yes,
of the property, any extra landscaping on that? The commission, we had quite some discussion a few months ago about whether there would be plantings on or off.
We would have no objection. We found that the berm actually provides a superior separation, and then if you do incorporate, you know, some degree of landscaping on that, you know, it's, I'm not sure, quite honestly, that I understand what the right tree in the right place is, but I'm sure that there's an engineer somewhere that understands that. But we know that the effectiveness of a berm provides that degree. It's a soft fence. You know, they say fences make good neighbors. Well, a berm makes even a better neighbor because it's aesthetically pleasing, and at the same time, it provides that degree, you know, of demarcation.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have any objection to, you know, doing landscaping on top of the berm, because then it just makes the landscaping that much more effective.
Similar discussion to what we had, what the commission had with a case a couple months ago, and we just,
right.
I was just curious what you might be saying this evening would constitute the berm, and if there was any...
The size of it?
No, you said that for Mr. Lang. If there would be any plantings on the top or not.
Yeah, I mean I certainly wouldn't have any objection to doing, you know, plantings, you know, some plantings. Probably the preference that we would have, you know, would be of an evergreen variety, because of the deciduous, you know, it looks great part of the year, but then a goodly portion of the year it really doesn't provide much.
Well, this is just, we're at the preliminary stage here, but
right.
It might save everyone a lot of extra time and discussion at some other point. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Dyer, that's all I have.
All right, sir, thank you. Mr. Burton.
Just a few. Just getting back to the berm issue, where would that berm go? Would it surround the property line?
Yes.
So you would take it around and back of the wetlands, or what are the...
Yeah, the
go along the northerly property line. Obviously, we could berm in this area here. We can't berm. I'm sorry. We cannot berm where the wetlands are, because that would be a violation.
So you would essentially just stop it so the lots that,
yes,
are up against the wetlands, you wouldn't,
yes,
plan on,
no,
having,
we,
that, a berm back behind
that. That's a very good point. No, we would not there.
Okay. And the amenity that this would be provided, the only amenity is a walking trail?
That's what we're projecting at this point, unless the commission, you know, felt otherwise. We've We have had a number of serious discussions in a number of communities, and what has been the most recent trend is a downsizing very much of amenities, which is why we opted for the increase in the walking trails, because that actually does get utilized. As I said, you know, you do a hard true tennis court and, you know, it ends up growing grass because nobody ever uses it. And that has been our experience, that a number of HOAs come in and then take them out. You know, they don't want to maintain those, and it really is a kind of a negative.
Not like gazebos and tot lots, are they?
Yeah, we certainly would agree to do, you know, gazebo. The other, and that, I should have mentioned that, what we found is a picnic area with, you know, with barbecue capabilities, that's very important, as well as, you know, tot lots. Even in an active adult setting, you know, if it is an active adult with grandchildren, things of that nature, it does provide, you know, an outlet for them to be able to utilize.
Yeah, the question of whether it's going to be a children-friendly area,
right.
I don't know many of them that are doing walking trails, but maybe.
Right. Well, I think that the, you know, clearly with the walking trails, that's geared very much to even the first-time home buyer and workforce housing projects that, you know, that we have really do utilize the walking trail facilities. They're very popular.
I got to the site, but the pond that's back there, is that going to be?
Yeah, that'll be left.
But is it cleaned up? Has it become a real pond, or is it just a?
It won't be utilized for stormwater management because it doesn't meet the criteria for stormwater management. Stormwater now under SCD, you have to have shelves, obviously, for protection, safety purposes, and it cannot be. It's a certain depth, and I want to say 6 feet. It can't be any deeper than 6 feet.
Is that a deep pond? It doesn't. Is there water in it all the time?
I have not jumped in it, so I do not.
Is there water in it all
the
time?
There is water in it. Yes, it does maintain water.
But it is your.
I don't know. I asked the same question, what the depth is, and they said they hadn't done any sounding, so I don't know the depth of it. But we are going to maintain it. It will stay intact, and we will clean it up.
And you mentioned the houses, but are they all going to be stick built?
We're not. You know, at this point, we're not sure because we've looked at, different opportunities. For example, with Barracka Homes, we've looked at them. And we're really not, we're not at a point where we can really forecast, you know, what the homes at this point would be.
Do you have any idea on the square feet?
No, you know, likewise, again, if the most recent trends that we're seeing, as I said, would be more of the ranch style, not two-story. We're seeing a desire for much larger garages, you know, sometimes even, you know, two car or greater, you know, so that people can store things, you know, as either they retire, or, you know, or move up. So the trend, again, would be a smaller home, definitely with the master down, even with the first time home buyers, we're seeing that, which I don't understand it, but that's clearly what we're saying.
I think the more garages, the better, but that's me. But
that's understandable. Mr. Lang?
I don't. Just one question, just to expand upon what Mr. Burton just asked you. In reference to stick built or modular, could that also be manufactured double wide?
I guess it could be. We really hadn't made that decision, but
no, it really couldn't be anyway. They are, and the lots aren't big enough, so that won't work.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be modular or stick built, basically.
Right.
Okay,
I don't
have that. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Abbott.
No question,
Council.
No questions, thanks.
All right,
well, Mr. Dyer, we thank you. If you will take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone with an interest in your application.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2007-43, Cool Spring Equities LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2007-43? Anyone? Yes, sir. Step right up. Give us your name, if you would, please.
Not necessarily in opposition.
Well, don't start yet. Give us your name, and then you can tell us.
Jim McHugh. I live at on Fisher Road, 28784 Fisher Road, just east of this property here. And just a question, if I could just, I guess the commission is going to investigate the stormwater runoff. That's mm-hmm. a very, you know, the wetlands there. I didn't know which direction the stormwater runoff is engineered to run at. Is it going into that wetlands or? And in regard to the berm, because that land just to the east there, it's all agricultural, but that traditionally holds water because of the wetlands that, you know, run. They're not on the map there, but they run to the east of that. So, you know, if there is any more saturation back there, that pond, that by the way, is about 6 feet to 8 feet deep.
Yeah, sir, I need you to direct your comments okay. to the commission. That's just a silly rule we have.
That's okay. Just that the land doesn't become oversaturated yeah. back there.
As you're probably aware, that stormwater management is overseen by the Sussex County Soil Conservation District, and they are subject to some rather rigorous requirements. So I am quite certain that that the wetlands will be dealt with in a responsible fashion, because those folks will pretty much make sure of it.
Good.
If it indeed happens. If you have any further concern about it, if this subdivision is approved, they will have to submit plans to many agencies, one of which is the Soil Conservation District. You certainly can let them know that you have an interest in the project, and I'm sure that they would be more than happy for you to come look at the plans, explain to you what's going on there. But typically, they're very sensitive to wetlands issues, and they won't let anything happen there that shouldn't.
Very good. Appreciate it.
You're welcome,
thank
sir.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for being with us. Is there anyone else would like to speak in opposition or in the middle? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. Any questions on the commission?
I have one.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's actually
we're not quite closed yet. Okay.
But Mr. Dyer, when was this application?
Sorry.
What was approximate date of the application of this? When it was filed?
December 18th, 2007.
All right. And you mentioned this as being workforce housing. If you could snap your fingers and everything went according to Hall, assuming there was an approval, when do you think the construction would begin and that true workforce housing could be supplied?
I would say, given the agencies, and I think the agencies now are much shorter than they were, you know, given lack of backlog. But I would say it would take at least six months to get agency approvals, and that would be a fast track. And then I would say that construction would probably be another 6 months. So that a year would be the shortest time period.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. Thank you for being with us this evening. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.